Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Today, Conrad and I are going to talk about clubs.
It's me, Conrad. Haven't done that for a while.
Not clubs like the type I used to hit him with.
Oh, what, like orange-flavoured clubs, mint-flavoured clubs? If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club, not that club.
Do they still make those?
Yes, they do.
Oh, see, I don't know. Being on this stupid diet, I don't eat chocolate biscuits anymore.
Well, you nearly reached your target.
Yeah, but that's just stage one of the target. I'll have to do more. Problem with being a hugely fat bloater.
That's what I am still.
No, you're not. Shut up.
Anyway, club.
Anyway, yes, it's a club. So, different types of clubs that people attend. And different ways that clubs are organised.
Okay.
So I got to thinking about this after I went to one of my local clubs on Sunday. And there's two clubs I go to. One is Aftermath, which is in Norwich. And the other is a club called Old Buckingham Bone Crunchers, which is Crushers, something like that. Which is an old Warhammer Fantasy Battle Club. That's where it started. That's where it's got that name. And the difference between the way the two clubs are organised and things just got me thinking about it. And you know, how you can set them up.
Yep.
So is that your insightful comment, is it?
That is my insightful comment. I don't think it's about setting up the club. I think it's about nurturing an ethos or a way of thinking within the club, because when you set up a club, you set up a club essentially so that it's financially viable and that you get members in so that you can run the club.
Yeah.
So it then becomes about what sort of club do you want your club to be? Do you want it to be cliquey and elitist and only playing this sort of game and it's only sort of tournament games? Do you only want no GW games there or whatever? But it's really about setting the environment and the tone encouraging people to get on with things. Because one of the biggest things with clubs is doing things, whether it be campaigns or, running events or running special games, scenarios or whatever, but it takes somebody or some people to get up and actually design that, write it, potentially play test it, and then gather a group of players get them interested in taking part sort of thing. So, and this is nothing, and there's the whole side of fair play and encouraging fair play and a great place for and a great environment and a safe environment for people to play in. So I think it's more about that, so that people aren't scared of actually saying, do you know what, I'd like to play, give this a go, or I'd like to give that a go sort of thing. And you say, yeah, off you go. The train's there. Do you need anything for it? What help do you need from us as a club committee or club leaders or whatever to help you do what you want to do?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the differences between the two that I go to are quite striking in that Aftermath is a very formalized structure, I guess. I mean, and part of it has to be because it has so many members. You sort of you have to book a game in advance, really, so that you can get some table space.
Yep.
Because there are more members. If every member of Aftermath turned up, there would not be enough room to play.
And I think that's probably the case with many clubs.
And so you book up in advance, and you don't necessarily play the game that you book to play. You're basically reserving table space.
Yeah.
But there is there's a wide range of games played at that club, but you know in advance what you're going to do. So I go on Thursdays. So there's two Thursdays a month that I go. It runs every Tuesday and every second Thursday. And so I go there and you know, there's a big Malifaux scene there. There's a big saga scene there. There's lots of historicals played, but there's also Fantasy Battle, Blood Bowl, 40K, War Machine. You know, all those sorts of games that you see, and then games that you just don't see. I've never seen anywhere else. Things like Freebooter's Fate.
Yep.
You know, those sorts of games. Last week, Matt Spooner and I played Dead Man's Hand. And next time out, we're going to play Fistful of Kung Fu. Because, you know, we're booking some table space, we're getting together, and then we're just putting some figures on a table for a particular rule set.
I mean, at Tainlawn, we have, you know, we have the constraints of tables and terrain, but we don't actually have to book games. We book opponents more than anything else to, you know, does anyone want to play this sort of game, or does anyone want to play that sort of game? And then they organise a game sort of that way, or sometimes it's done like the Sunday before. But there's a big apocalypse campaign about to start at the club, and there's been a lot of lead up to that, a lot of sort of test games, a lot of test table layouts and things like that. In the past, we've run Necromunda campaigns, Mordheim campaigns, Blood Bowl leagues, Fantasy Battle campaigns, Horde's War Machine leagues, what else? Flames of War sort of scenario play as well. So, you know, there's been a good number of sort of campaigny, club-based, creative, not open the rules, an army book, and get some lists together and have a game sort of thing. There's been some sort of, you know, there's an environment there that encourages you to do something, and if you want to do it, just get up and do it, you know, go ahead and do it. Grab a like-minded set of players within the club and off you go sort of thing.
Right.
And, you know, that could be homebrewed rules, house rules as they're called, or house scenarios created for the campaign. So I think, you know, watching the club grow in the last sort of 6 to 9 months, we've had a huge influx of GW40K players, and seeing them just get on with stuff and do stuff has been a real pleasure for me, because in the past the committee of the club have had to try and invest time and effort to help those players get along. We've got a set of players now with a number of people who want to do things and take their game somewhere else. And do you know what? That means that the players are happy. The game will not die within the club. And it makes for, you know, a happy club environment sort of thing, you know. So I'm really pleased with that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting, because, I mean, that sounds very similar to the old Buckingham Club, which is, I suppose, the way I perceive it. And the interesting thing with the old Buckingham Club is that there is a distinct set of age ranges. There are 13, 14-year-old kids who came in when we leafleted the local high schools.
Mm-hmm.
Their parents bring them along. They leave them sort of for the Sunday afternoon because they know there's a whole load of CRB-checked adults there. They leave their kids, and the kids just play 40K. That's what they all do. And there's 8 or 9 of kids who play for it. Then there's the 20s guys who also tend to be 40K players. And they work sort of nurturing the kids. But you see them play, it's not like the mid-20s guys are playing each other and the kids are playing each other. The kids in the mid-20s are all mixing together and playing.
Yep.
And so you normally have 3 or 4 tables of 40K going on. Though this week there was only 2 because they were playing some apocalypse thing and there were titans and everything all over the shop. Oh, there were massive models. Then you get the older guys, no, they don't have big beards.
And bellies.
That is true. of which I'm one of the younger ones.
Yeah.
And they tend to play, we tend to play everything. So nominally we play Warhammer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the last time I actually played a Warhammer game there. So this past weekend, there's a guy there, Paul, who is a scout leader. And he plays miniature games with his scouts when they're off on camp and stuff. And so he makes up rule sets. So he brought in this 15mm zombie game where we had to escape down a cliff and onto the beach and get to the boat and escape.
That sounds fun.
It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant waste of an afternoon. There were 8 or 9 of us playing. He provides, you don't have to take anything. You know, you turn up and you get given a character sheet. It's very much like almost a participation game at Salute.
Yep.
And this is just what he likes to do. And then in 3 months' time, he'll come back and he'll have a different game. Last year, he was running a HeroQuest variant using a dungeon that he'd made out of Hearst Arts blocks. Was all painted up and everything, and you know you went through, and it was great dungeon crawl. But everyone wants to play because it's such a laugh, and that's the sort of club this is. So you know, and then while he was setting up, we played Botswana, which is another game. We'll have to talk about Botswana sometime.
That's on the crossover game episode that we've got to do.
So. It's, you know, it's that sort of club, and it's, you don't have to turn up with any figures. You turn up, you're guaranteed to get if you're open-minded, you're guaranteed to get a game of something. And it might not be a brilliant game. I mean, Paul was adjusting rules as we played based on the feedback. We were sort of a playtest group. But it was still a brilliant way to spend the Sunday afternoon.
I think games where you've got a group of players interacting, you know, pseudo role-playing even, that there is always going to be fun. Because you get the subplots and the alliances and the banter, and I like that sort of thing because it's
one of the club leaders is a guy, another guy called Paul. Rebecca calls him Nice Paul. He's notorious for having the worst dice rolls ever in anything, and his niece comes along. She's 13.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes along and she plays, and even she joins in the banter against him, going, "No, don't let him roll the dice. It will all go horribly wrong."
His reputation precedes him.
Yeah, and then there's a younger group of guys who are, you know, they've sort of graduated away from 40K, but they haven't then gone back to it. They're 17, 18.
Yep.
And they play, and they've been going to the club for a few years, and you've seen them change from, you know, 12, 13-year-old boys to now they're 18 and they're all going, "Hello, Mike, how are you?"
"Hello, Mike, how are you?" Like that.
Which is very, very, which is very, very funny. And they're all now taller than I am, which is a bit depressing.
we have a 16-year age limit because we tried the younger thing, but in terms of having younger members. And I think one of the biggest problems that you have is the whole CRB check thing. Yes. Which is, you know, you can get done, and certainly through the GCN it used to be free, but I don't think it is anymore. But that's
the Gaming Club Network.
Yeah, Gaming Club Network. But the other thing is that a lot of us realized was that we were trying to get away from family environment sort of things, you know, where there were kids around, that, and we wanted our time. So I think we upped the age limit to 16. So that at least there was a certain maturity with people coming in. Obviously, the downside of that is that we don't have a lot of younger members anymore. We have had, you know, under 20, you know, between the sort of 16 to 20 year olds, and then we have the 20 to 30s, and then older people, as it were.
Yeah.
And it's
grown ups. So I like to call
them. Are we ever grown up? And there's, you know, there's cross fertilization between the groups in terms of playing with each other from a game point of view, and there is always the benefit of experience and running stuff before. Why don't you do this? You know, have you considered doing that? Sort of that element of things, you know, that side of things in terms of providing help and experience for running stuff as well. So I think at the moment the dynamic within our club is good. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Old Buckenham doesn't have an age limit, I don't think. Basically, when you come to join, you talk to Nice Paul, and Nice Paul will decide whether you can stay or not. Aftermath has an, I think it's 18. I've certainly not seen people younger than that.
I was talking to a clubmate of mine last week, and he was talking about Saga. And a friend of his that war games at another club where they were playing Saga, and because this particular force, I don't know which it was, I don't know if it was the Yoms Vikings or whatever, was deemed as being too powerful, it had been banned from the club. Now, you see, I don't think that's an environment that is a good environment.
I would tend to agree. I mean, it's you can self-regulate, but having a ruling seems a tad harsh.
Yes, I mean, especially when somebody's invested potentially money, time and effort into getting that force together.
Yeah.
Going back to the old fantasy days of, and I think there still is comp, you know, in fantasy, that was a way of regulating things. And I think, you know, natural selection would, with somebody with a powerful army, would probably naturally lean to a situation where people don't necessarily want to play that person with that army. But I kind of think to outright ban something, especially in a rule set like Saga, is a bit strange. And this is a club that does a lot of, you know, on the fly stuff in terms of, creating games or scenarios as well, so it's very much an environment which encourages these sort of participation games as well. So I kind of found it strange.
Yeah, it's weird, but we're running long.
Yeah.
But you did bring up an interesting point that perhaps we should talk about another time, which is how you bring new people in. If you're going to have age limits on your clubs, how do new players come in, and how do you get kids playing the hobby?
Yep.
Without it being the GW hobby, in big air quotes. But that's probably a discussion for another time.
Okay.
So until another time, I've been Mike.
And I've been Comrade.
Bye.
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 Teenage Conrad. Bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.